Weißt du nicht? After having these qualified Brahmins recite auspicious Vedic hymns, he arranged to have the Vedic birth ceremony celebrated for his newborn child according to the rules and regulations, and he also arranged for worship of the demigods and foremothers. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has discussed the significance of the words Nandas too. The word too, he says, is not used to fulfill the sentence, because without two, the sentence is complete. Therefore, the word two is used for a different purpose. Although Krishna appeared as the son of Devaki, Devaki and Vasudeva did not enjoy the Japta Karma, the festival of the birth ceremony. Instead, this ceremony was enjoyed by Nanda Maharaj. As stated here, Nanda Slatvajatupane Jatalado Mahamaha. When Nanda Maharaj met Vasudeva, Vasudeva could not disclose your son, Krishna, is actually my son. You are his father in a different way, spiritually. Because of fear of conflict, Vasudeva could not observe the festival for Krishna's birth. Nanda Maharaj, however, took full advantage of this opportunity. The Japta Karma ceremony can take place in the umbilical cord, connecting the child and the placenta is cut. However, since Krishna was brought by Vasudeva to the house of Nanda Maharaj, where was the chance for this to happen? In this regard, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur desires to prove with evidence from many shastras that Krishna actually took birth as a son of Yashoda before the birth of Rupa Maya, who is therefore described as the Lord's younger sister. Even though there may be doubts about the cutting of the vocal cord, and even though it is possible this was not done, when the Supreme Personality of Godhead appears, such events are regarded as factual. Krishna appeared as Brahmadev from the nostril of Brahma, and therefore Brahma is described as the father of Brahmadev. Also significant are the words Karayam Asya Vidhivat. Being overwhelmed with jubilation over the birth of his son, Nanda Maharaj did not see whether the cord was cut or not. Thus he performed the ceremony very gorgeously. According to the opinion of some authorities, Krishna was actually born as the son of Yashoda. In any case, without regard for material understandings, we can accept that Nanda Maharaj's celebration, the ceremony of Krishna's birth, was proper. The ceremony is therefore well known everywhere as Nanda. So we're getting some relief from constant consciousness now. We've been hearing for such horrible atrocities and things going on. The friends of Kamsa and the whole city of Mathura is pretty much comes to consciousness. So now we're going back over to the other side, to Gokul, and hearing a little different of what's going on there. Nanda Maharaj is getting ready to put on a big festival. And this ceremony is actually, we'll hear in the next couple of verses, the preparations for the ceremony, quite elaborate. And it engages everybody in all different regards in the preparation for the ceremony. And so it's really a focus of the whole community that, it's Krishna's birthday. This celebration is going to be held, and what can I do to take part? So it's a very nice focus. Actually, we hear that in the spiritual world, there's a festival every day. operation staff here could imagine that either. These days you have to take some R&R after each major festival. But it does go on every day in the spiritual world. Srila Prabhupada wrote very early in the Nectar Devotion, writes that it is offensive if one does not observe these holidays. It is a very, very important thing. I don't know how many people on their computers get Vaishnava Alert. None of you. Else? Yes. All of a sudden you hear this cow, or you hear a peacock, or you hear an elephant for a codicil. And it's really nice. I mean, every single day, I don't know if there's one day that you don't get some alert. And it's like, you can get it. You can, I don't know how to get it, but anyway. Somehow I got on my calendar, and you open up your computer and it's Vaishnava Alert. Today is this, that. And then you can go on, you can read all about it. So it's, you never miss anything. It's like a really safe position there. So this is nice. Because every day you get to focus on something else. You get to remember that, oh yeah, today is a festival of some sort. And that is going on in the spiritual world all the time. And we need this. We need to be engaged in thinking of how we can serve Krishna in different ways. Otherwise, then even our money accumulates, and our energy accumulates, and then Maya always has some engagement for sure. So better that we utilize it and save it and give it to the celebration, because it does require a lot of sweat and blood, a lot of money, and we all have experienced that, that when we do participate and give, that somehow or other all the festivals come out very nicely, and the Lord is pleased, and the whole community is very satisfied. Within this celebration, usually, of course, the deities are the focus, and that is our meditation for days and days. I know right now we're already preparing for Lord Chananda to start a week ago, thinking of the menu, and what are they going to wear, and I mean, we're already up in our minds, the souls are already up in their minds, all the way to Janmasthami, you know, already making some of these things. So this is a great impression on our soul, because right now we're still very much very impersonal, believe it or not. I know myself, sometimes I can come here and stand on the duties and someone asks me what they have on a few minutes, and I said, they had on 2 months ago. So we still have very much an impersonalist aspect to our consciousness. And Srila Prabhupada, he targeted this. And therefore he established deity worship very early. And he very much encouraged the temples to do it elaborately. He set LA was the standard. Even to this day, they dress the deities twice a day in day clothes. Plus more clothes. Can you imagine? A whole other crew. A whole other set of garlands. Amazing. The Prabhupada said that was really wonderful. So this really helps us in getting away from this impersonalism, which is a big hurdle. Even other religions can't swallow it, that God is really a person, that we can have a birthday. We find that, you know, artists and everything going on in these temples, which are focusing on the deity, really help us to get over that. And it also brings a family atmosphere to the temple. We all come together and do things together and cook together and talk about the deities while we're doing service. And plus, Krishna likes it. He's standing up high like that, not so that we can see him, but he can look down on us and see who's here. Like his whole family, he could see, oh, what runaways has come back to me now. And he's very happy to see, you know, he's finally come back. And so that's also, makes it very personal, unlike, you know, in some other religions when there's just maybe a cross or something in there, or maybe nothing there. This way there's some reciprocation. And even book bottle, I don't know if anyone could be so dull, they haven't noticed, there's one of the display over here. telling me just a few of the faces you see on the, what's going on, maybe three different events going on. So many things, it really helps us to get over that hurdle. I was on campus the other day, and one of the last girls that came up, she was standing looking at our panels, and I said, she sat down with us, and she was saying how I think her friend or else she had been to India, and she says, really amazing things about temples in India is that you see there's so much opulence on the murtis, on the deities, just so much of it, like dressed gorgeously with flowers and everything. And then the devotees have got robes on, simple things like this, and she goes, there's really something to these temples. Mm-hmm. So she really appreciated the opulence of God, and that he deserves it, that this is where it really should be. So even, normal materials can be affected by this worship when it's done properly. So therefore, it does require some organization. Actually, Mukhi just put this in my hand. It's a Bratyatra pamphlet from Los Angeles. I'm supposed to give it to the committee here to get ideas of how to publicize and tell people about what it is. And this required a lot of organization, this celebration. Huge amount every year. Tens of thousands of people come, and they have to deal with it. So I was also that same day on campus, last week a boy came up and said, the philosophy is really good, but I really have a hard time with organized religion. And I go, oh, here we go. So anyway, but if it's not organized, what happens? You won't have a celebration on Dhammas. You won't have the feast prepared. You won't have the stage erected and everything going on. So Prabhupada insisted that we were very organized so that we could spread Krishna consciousness to everyone and engage the whole community inside and outside in thinking of Krishna. One time in the very early beginning of, I think it was in India, and it was Vyas Puja, and the devotees really didn't know how to organize it, what to do. And Prabhupada was furious, and he stopped it in the middle and said, okay, this is how you do it. Let's try again tomorrow. So Prabhupada insisted that we are very organized. If not, it's a shame, because it's an opportunity to show our appreciation to the Lord on these celebrations. And actually, a lack of organization, if anything, we have that problem rather than being more organized, as was shown at the Rathiatra last weekend, when after 20 minutes, our battery was dead for the megaphone. So here we are amongst 200,000 people, and we just have our voices with no amplification. And the Christians on the corner have a megaphone blaring out their message. So organization is very, very important. We could have had, if we really organized it, we could have had 20, 30,000, 40,000 people jumping up and down with their hands in the air glorifying the holy name. We could have definitely had many people doing that if we were organized. So we do need to be organized and realize that all these celebrations that we do, and Harinam definitely is a celebration of the holy name, are very important to Prince Srila Prabhupada and just by this mission. So, because we wanna invite the world to experience Krishna consciousness. The world is really starving for culture. It's amazing what they'll do to have a cultural presentation. They're dried up. This culture, there is no culture. It stinks. There's just nothing going on. It's dry. They're bored. They have to dress up as pirates to have fun. I mean, pretty sad situation. So we really need to have some culture and to present it nicely. Just like Bhakti Maharaswami, when he's churning his mind, he was pleading for people to help with his idea of going to campuses and opening it up and having a cultural presentation. Because the world does need this. Otherwise, it's, you know, they're wasting their life, definitely. So the other, a couple of weeks ago, we had a civil engineer out here, and we were telling some of our plans, and he was giving us some advice, and he says, "You all are thinking too small." He says, "This is going to expand, and that's going to expand, and the community out there is waiting to see what you all are going to do. They want to see, what are these Hare Krishnas going to do?" Really, he said that. And so, what are we going to do? And how are we going to make the celebration so that, you know, 50,000 people come here? I mean, even in India, Janmasthami, the Muslims recognize it and celebrate it in some way. Prabhupada said. So we should have, you know, announcements so that the public come here and are totally amazed at what kind of culture there is here, how juicy it is, how nectarine it is, and that they can actually take part too. So these observances are part of our sadhana. They are very, very important so that we don't become lazy in devotional service and that we can learn how to properly respect and glorify the Lord. It's very important that we're trained this way. Because otherwise, you know, there's another birthday ceremony, another this, another that. Maybe we won't even bother with it this year. Actually, I remember when I first came to Bodhi, every one of the Goswami's appearance days, I was cooking a feast. Big, huge feast. It was like boom, 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 almost every day. I guess financially couldn't do it anymore. But anyway, it's part of our training, very, very important, that we strengthen our weak areas by doing all these different sadhana workouts. They actually are a workout. I was at my mother's place in Tampa waiting for the festival, and I went in chant my rounds in the exercise room where they have all those, you know, big, huge machines, ones for this and ones for that, and you do this and do that. And so they usually have a trainer in there, and they tell you what part is for what part of your body, and work on that. So I was beginning to think, you know, like, this is, you know, sadhana is like that. That we, our japa, you know, and different things are all different workouts. Sometimes you feel that way when it really gets going in here during japa time in the morning. You know, people pace something down, people are, you know, got their heads covered and chanting real loud and whatever, you know, trying to control the mind. But we are flabby, we're out of shape, we have flabby faith, that's for sure. We have weak intelligence, we are a very sloppy sadhachar, we don't really know how to have proper Vaishnava etiquette, so many things. So this sadhana, including celebrations, is very much important. It is a workout, but it works on all these different things that are very important to build a very strong devotional heart. And so we shouldn't neglect these celebrations. I mean, we have to do it according to our needs. We're going to hear about how many cows and this and that Nanaraj gave out. Even in this one thing, it says that he gave everyone exactly what everyone wanted. Can you imagine the list we'd get? Anyway, become very much in the mode of being trained. Although Prabhupada, our trainer, has just more or less given us the basics, and one of them is all these celebrations, we shouldn't think that after a while that I've got the basic training down. I really don't need to do that. I can just skip that day, or I can not do this or that. The tendency, of course, is to take the lowest standard. So we have to be very careful and not think that it's not needed. Even Sri Prabhupada said that he's always very still afraid of Maya. And so this training, this sadhana, is very important to keep back Maya's allurement. And therefore we have to take shelter of all Prabhupada's instructions. And this way we can develop beyond even the basic training. We can maybe step up to a Raghunuga platform one day, maybe in this lifetime, that will actually be spontaneously attracted to devotional service, spontaneously running here to the temple to do some service. Actually, it was really nice in Jaipur. We were trying to figure out the timings to go see Govindaji. And there you could see some real devotion. That's why mainly we wanted to go. We just love to see all the people just praying and pouring out their devotion. This real spontaneous love that is there in those personalities and those bhaktas of Govindaji. And also we went to the Ram Mohan temple and saw that same devotion, that spirit there. And when we were kind of walking, trying to go to the temple, and then some man came by and said, You gotta run! It's gonna close soon! You know, so that it was like contagious, you know, that enthusiasm. So hopefully this will become inherent within our hearts, that someday we'll be on that level. We'll step up just from the basics and go to a higher level. But we have to start with the proper training. There's a very nice story here in India. I can't know if I told it to you all, but I told it to quite a few people. But it has stuck in my mind, and will never forget, never go out of my mind. It's Giriraj Maharaj was telling stories about Prabhupada, and he said, actually, I'm going to tell you a story about some like members, and he told a story about one man, I don't remember, and then he told a story about a woman who was, I guess, raised in Brudge. And anyway, she was involved with a life member and invited Prabhupada to come to prasadam. And so Tamalkrishna Goswami and Giriraj Maharaj went. And they sat down and waiting for prasadam. And this lady comes out with a violin and dancing. Another lady, they're dancing and singing Braj songs and everything. And Tamalkrishna Maharaj, you can just kind of picture it in his mind, his eyes rolled in the back of his head. He looked around and kind of looked like this to Prabhupada, and Prabhupada leaned over and said, "This lady has spontaneous love for Krishna, and you are just beginning training to become a Vaishnava." And that has really stuck with me. So we have to take this training seriously. We are not on that level. But we can become that way. Prabhupada wants us to become Raghunugas and Rupanugas. So we have to begin and realize that we're out of shape. We need this training and take it very seriously and not take any shortcuts, not think that we are more advanced than we really are. And take shelter of each other to help each other become advanced, just like that man was encouraging me to run. Don't miss the darshan. Don't miss the seva. Don't miss helping with Nityananda's celebration, with Lord Chaitanya's celebration. It goes on and on and on every season. There's how many celebrations? I think she said there was 12 years. There's a lot more than that. I know there must be. It seems like every week there's something going on. So we should get involved and get others involved and think big. Think how we can maybe change that Janmasthami thing out in the field so it's a little more exciting, a little different. We have more dramas, not just one drama, two dramas. Maybe we have two stages. We got to think bigger. We have the biggest community in North America. We should be thinking way bigger, you know, I think. And we should make it a big affair for the inner community so we all get more fired up, and for the outer community so that they can taste this personalism of serving and worshiping and reciprocating with God, which they're missing out on, which they're really hankering for. And instead of dressing up as pirates and wenches with their swords and their... Anyway, I won't describe what we saw. But anyway, rather than doing that and having a parade of admonishment of horrible things, why not have a big celebration at all of our Vaishnava Moses, have it for the whole public. And so I think that's something we can all work on, and work on our own sadhana, and try to realize that all these things are very, very important. I didn't mention what's in this purport at the end about the controversy of, is Krishna Yasoda's kid or Devaki's, because I don't know. I'm very simple, and Prabhupada doesn't seem to think it's such an important thing. He says, we hear this, we hear that. But regardless of all these things, we celebrate Janmasthami. So if anyone wants to get into that, they're welcome to, but I don't have the knowledge. I didn't even go there to... I probably could have gone online and heard all the different opinions, but I really don't know them all. So I'm just taking Prabhupada's position of whether or not that's what it is. But if you'd like to discuss that, you can. Is there anything else anybody would like to mention or add or subtract? Yes.
Very well put it in the part of the both sides is there, but we celebrate his birthday. And as you mentioned in the beginning, Nanda Maharaj's place, where Krishna takes birth to release this, and nobody knew, actually, even Mother Yashoda, I don't want to go into details, but even Mother Yashoda almost like went to unconscious sleep, into fire, long labor. But when Krishna, Vasudeva left with his son, and then he marched to the Nanda Maharaj's son, that time Krishna himself woke up everyone. Such a loud crying that he woke up, just like Jogamaya or turning to Mahamaya and made such a loud cry that all the jailkeeper, everybody woke up in other birthday party there. And this birthday party here, same time, he woke up everybody, and then Nanda Mother Yashoda realized that she has a son. And there was the big celebration. Now there is also little tips on that, that before that, in the Harivamsa explains that Nanda Maharaj and Mother Yashoda, they really did not do, they did all the celebration, but they did not want to do one of the sanskar that we mentioned, Prabhupada mentioned in the part of Jatakarma and all this. But they did not do Garbhadhan sanskar. To conceive a child, you do celebration that Prabhupada wants us to do it, if as a Grihastha wants a child. But they did not, they wanted, they opposed. And one day Nanda Baba asked Mother Yashoda, you know why I'm opposing this? Because I really don't want a son. I want the son. I have to tell you, reveal that night after night I'm having this dream of a most wonderful, such a beautiful boy I never heard or saw anywhere. It's such a beautiful, I just want that boy to be my son. That's why I cannot do any jagna of this putrishti jagna. So Mother Yashoda then revealed, oh, I didn't want to tell you, but this is exactly happening also. Every night I'm having this dream, most beautiful boy coming and playing in my heart. And so that's why when the child was born, Mother Yashoda immediately recognized it's the same child was born. So it is the relishment of Krishna's with the form of the parental. So Govinda Maharaj says that all the incarnation did not have parents until Nishinadev developed the desire from the relishment of Prahlad on his left. He was such a loving, like a cat, look like a baby lion. So and Nishinadev fell in love with this affection. He's so cute, and he looked at his, the pillar. Oh, that's where I come from, but I can't reciprocate with the pillar as a son. So he immediately desired. So God, there is a greed within the God that he wants to release this parental wound. And from that incarnation on, all the incarnation have a parent.
Anything else? Yes.
I was thinking about when you were talking about the organizing the festivals and stuff. I was thinking I joined the movement in Durban in South Africa, and that is about twice full the amount of the community in that temple. So the way they did it was that they had different Namahatas in the community, and they would have maybe approximately about 30 people in a Namahata that would come together every Sunday